trumpet, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. You know, it's been a while. It's been a while since we had the returning segment at the end of the show.
Sorry, my phone's ringing.
What's on Jared's mind?
Well, I'll tell you right now.
Phone ringing during the show.
Let me tell you what's on my mind. I'm annoyed because year seven? What are we doing here? How many years have we done this?
October 1st, 2017 was the first rendition of the show. And it turns out it's been at 9 a.m. every single day.
I can't recall it ever not being at 9 a.m.
It hasn't. It's never been anything but 9 a.m. Mm. At least it's somebody that probably doesn't know.
This person probably doesn't know. I know who it is. It's okay. But it's been 7 years. You'd think at one point. Anyways.
So what's on Jared's mind? End of the show.
I'll let that go. By the end of the show, I'll get over it.
You'll have something else. Something else will be on your mind by the end of the show. I'm just sure of it. So we'll have that. We didn't quite get to it yesterday. Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Record-breaking contract for a non-quarterback. $140 million over 4 years. $110 million guaranteed. So where does that put one CeeDee Lamb? And what are the Cowboys doing? Has anybody got any idea what's going on there?
Well, we've been saying that for about a decade now, haven't we?
Well, at least at some points you could see what they were trending towards. I don't know if we can figure that out right now. But with that deal, we'll get to it. But there's one particular team, and it's amazing. When I tell you who it is, it's going to be shocking. But there's one particular team that I think is just smarter than everybody right now. See if you can think who it is.
That you wouldn't think is smart?
Good Lord, no. They've been abysmal. But all of a sudden, it's like, who turned on the light? Up north.
I think I know who you're referring
to. They've been brilliant so far this offseason. College football. You see the Hall of Fame nominations?
What, all 70 of them?
77.
Jeez.
Is that a few too many? Okay. We can discuss it when we get there. But, man, it seems like a lot, but...
Isn't a Hall of Fame supposed to be
prestigious?
Prestigious, thank you.
There's a problem for college football that kind of lends itself to not being that. I'll tell you. I mean, it seems ridiculous, but I don't know if it is quite as ridiculous as what we think. Man, Sooners survived yesterday. Things were looking dire early on in that game, and then it just flip-flopped, and now Oklahoma back into the championship series. It's what everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people wanted, number one versus number two. Does Oklahoma have anything left in the tank for the Horns? Starts tonight, 7 o'clock. So we can talk about a lot of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone to the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or you can download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of that Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. So go check it out, thepennynews.com. Print copies will be available today. and for sure by tomorrow in all locations. Of course, Big Elk and Paragon TV, when we've got high school sports rolling, you can watch that through the app. And then also the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you miss the show entirely, you can check us out.
Which is working again, by the way.
Oh, it is?
I did a little tinkering. Got it to go. Got it to work. And all of a sudden, I got an alert. 20 episodes of the Skinny on Sports podcast.
Back on Apple?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because that's a lot of people were texting me like, where'd it go? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's been some hang-ups.
A lot of times.
I took care of it myself.
A lot of times it feels like about when people really get enjoying. And, man, I listen to the podcast all the time. I start getting texts, where'd it go?
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. That is not in my expertise, let's say. You know, for a younger man, some would say older man, I'm not overly technical when it comes to the computers. You know? You are. Well, I'm not. My solution is always, well, if we just turn it off,
one day I'm not.
Turn it back on.
One day, yeah. One day I'm just not going to know. I just feel like I'm just trying to keep up. And I think the day's coming when I'm going to go to my kid and go, hey, Katie, how do you turn this on?
A little help here.
Like, I haven't even tried, like, there's so much social media, right? Like, I use Twitter to find news and up-to-date sports news and stuff like that and rumors and all that. And I use Facebook as basically to keep up with old friends and family. But I don't do the TikTok. I don't do the Instagram. I don't do – what are the other ones?
Snapchat.
I don't do – it's just too much. And my kids know about all that. They know how to – like, hey, can I snap so-and-so? Oh, can we make a TikTok? I wouldn't even know how to start that. I don't even know. I'm not going to know. I don't want to know.
A lot of times I miss out on the funny videos because I don't have TikTok. I don't know how to get it to work.
You're right, yeah.
Would you like to download the app? No.
No. Yeah, right? When friends send you videos and...
Yes.
Like, no, I'm not signing in. I'm not downloading. I don't want to.
Spotify. I'm getting a text that there are some older podcasts on Spotify.
Spotify. Well, it's back on Apple, and I haven't checked the rest of them. And I'm sure once I get around to doing that and figure that out, it'll be hung up on Apple again.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'll do my best to keep that going. Best way is just go to kdsam.com. It's right there on the front page.
That's right.
Or Facebook. I mentioned Facebook earlier.
Sometimes Facebook gets mad at us because it thinks skinny is a derogatory term.
Oh my goodness.
We're getting a text.
Isn't that dumb?
Two old men on a park bench right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler.
How old is that person who just sent that?
Tyler.
Which Tyler?
Harrison.
Come on, man. He's the same old age as us.
Oh, he's younger.
He's about my age. He's an 02 grad.
He's an 03 grad.
He's an 03 grad?
Yes. He's a 2003 man.
So he's 39 and not 40?
He's a man. He's 40.
Oh, man.
West Oklahoma Realty.
Guess I better be nice to him.
Yeah, in case you need to buy a house or sell a house, you need to be nice to Tyler.
I have no plans of doing that. Oh, maybe I do. Who knows?
He's efforting a test.
He sells the nice homes too. I saw a real nice one that he's selling.
His cousin's going to be my neighbor.
Oh yeah?
Yes. Brycey.
Cool.
Brycey's going to be my neighbor. Which is fantastic news.
Why is that?
Cuz Brycey's a good dude, man.
Oh. I figure there's some benefits there or something.
I'm wondering if it's going to be like having another child though. Gonna have to get Cassidy to take care of him, especially in the food department. Can't have Bryce eating us out of house and home.
Hey, completely random, but I saw your bride last night, and she didn't wave at me when she drove by my house.
She was going to see your sister.
I was on the mower. She drove. I'm like, she just tunnel vision. Didn't even look over and wave.
She didn't wave at me either. Nothing new.
I figured she was over here seeing her sis.
Yes, Aunt Dina. Shout out to Aunt Dina. Hopefully she's feeling good. She had a little surgery.
Oh, my. Nothing major, I hope?
Well,
it's surgery.
It wasn't major to me because I wasn't having it, but I'm sure any little surgery.
Oh, yeah. No fun.
Wow. Will's dad did it.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Cool.
All reports were that she's doing fantastic.
Good. So Will's a nurse right now?
Not a different Will. I mean, Will Bowie's dad did it.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. But
oh, Will Malloy?
Will Malloy's a nurse right now.
Dear Lord, let's hope not. I don't know how well that would go.
Speaking of old man talk, I need to go see Dr. Bowie.
Yeah, Jared, you're getting that
I
age.
I am over 40. I need to.
You always got
to
check out the fingers of guys like that. All right, moving on. Give us your, what were your thoughts at about 2 o'clock yesterday?
What was about 5 to 2 at that time?
Yes.
Well, that's it.
See, you're one of those.
It's like I was like, it's like the 7 stages of grief. You know, I was almost to the point of acceptance. Like, okay, it's been a great year. That's it. The run has come to an end.
You definitely are like the least Sooner magic-y thinking guy I know.
There's always a chance though with that team, right? There's always a chance for a comeback, but it just at that point I was like, man, tip of the cap to Florida, great season Oklahoma, deep run in the playoff, deep run in the World Series. Good job. But I wasn't like bitterly mad. I was just like, I was kind of conceding a loss, really. 5-2 in the fourth inning, right?
Yeah, 5-2 in the third. Maxwell gave up a home run in each of the first 3 innings.
Yeah.
The game started a lot like it did the day before. Florida jumping out ahead. You know, an early turning point to me was in the bottom of the first inning. Sooners got the 2-run home run to tie it from Parker, and then a couple base runners later, he had first and second, one out, and then grounded into the double play, and then Florida comes up and hits a 2-run bomb the next inning. You're like, oh, boy. It's 4-2. Sid Sanders' home run in the fourth, I think, to me, changed the entire complexity of the game. You know, Maxwell finally went out in the top of the fourth inning, didn't give up any runs. Then Sanders hits a 2-run home run, pulls OU within a run. And give tons of credit to Kelly Maxwell, because those first 3 innings looked a lot like the day before, looked like what we've seen from her in bad performances. Mm-hmm. And, man, she just completely flipped the script in one hit over the last 5 innings, which was like a little dinker right back to her, just chopped it up in the air from the leadoff hitter. Golly, I can't remember her name off the top of my head. All of a sudden, it just flew right out of my head. Dalby, maybe. You know, and that was other than that, I mean, she really dominated the back half of that game, and it allowed Oklahoma's offense to have just enough to be able to pull off that win in extra innings, a 6-5. It was, you know, the announcing, the crew that was announcing the game were obviously, I mean, for great reason, really playing up the aspect of the seniors on OU squad. But it was the youngsters that had a majority, mm-hmm. at least on the offensive side of things, that carried the load. Pickering was good. Ella Parker was good. What's the 9-hole hitter? Hodge. Riley Hodge mm-hmm. was good. And it seemed like until the bottom of the eighth, when one of the seniors would come up in a big spot, it just wasn't happening. You know, Coleman had chances. T.R.A. Jennings has a ton of chances to affect the outcome of that game. And until the very end, it was almost like you could see on their faces and in their body language, the realization of, this might be the last time I ever swing the bat in a Sooner uniform, right? I mean, what was it, the sixth inning? Maybe the fifth, when you had a chance to tie it.
There's multiple times, I think, the fifth.
When Coleman popped up.
Yeah.
After Hodge led off with the double, and I guess it ended up being the sixth inning because Parker knocked her in with two outs. But then once again, you know, it gets around to Brito was not very good. It does, until the very end, it was the youngsters carrying the load on the offensive side. And then, of course, there was the Coleman bottom of the eighth, the solo home run. But I'm anxious to see what happens tonight, just how much they have left. You know, Texas has just breezed through the three games they've played, whereas OU's kind of had to fight tooth and nail throughout to be able to get to where they're at. I'm so interested in how this thing goes. I mean, one would think today would be such an uphill battle for the Sooners because after what the effort she exerted yesterday, I wouldn't think there's any way Kelly Maxwell's out there, right?
I mean, I was thinking about that too. The rain delay is a bummer because of that. Now there's not a lot of rest, quick turnaround. I don't know who, but I was critical of the decision to start May over Maxwell. I'd give Maxwell a shot. And she seems to be one that if you can get past the rough start, she gets stronger as the game goes on. And who knows? I mean, maybe you can get her out there, survive a quote-unquote rough start, whatever that may look like, and maybe help the bats get going early for OU, and then she gets stronger at the end and go for game one. I'd roll the dice and just go with her, honestly. That's what I would do. She seems to be having a good tournament.
Oh, no doubt.
And I wouldn't want to take the ball out of her hands right now.
Yeah, you wonder if concede is probably not the right word. But if OU kind of concedes today or just hope they can outslug Texas to try to win the next two. And, you know, we had some comments on our podcast about what we talked about in the first game of the Florida series. Listen, the decision is the decision, and it's hard to second guess Patty Gasso with anything because she's been so effective for all these years. It's not the fact that she went with Nicole May in that first game against Florida. It's why. It's not that she did it. It was always why. Mm-hmm. Why did she do it? It was like a thank you note. And here's the problem. The problem is now, after you essentially concede the first game to Florida, Maxwell has to throw 150 whatever pitches. And now you're right back at it today against a Texas team that has looked like the best squad in the entire thing. Right. So, I mean, the second guessing isn't the decision to throw May. It's the why she did it. And she admitted it. Like, she deserved it for her past performance. Okay, well, once again, it goes back to the loyalty in sports stinks. And now Oklahoma, does it not feel like they're down 1-0? It does to me in a lot of ways.
Kind of in a weird way refreshing because we've gone into finals in the past with OU as them being considered the favorite, the heavy favorite. No matter who, it's like, oh, it's OU in the finals, they're the favorite, moving on. And it's kind of cool because it does not feel like they're the favorite. And I want to know how they approach that. How does Gasso approach? I don't think, you know, there's been times in the past where have not been the favorite in all that, but not recently. And I want to see how Gasso and this team approach, like, hey, everyone's expecting you guys to dry up here and not be good. So let's show the world that we are still OU. And I want to see that approach.
What's interesting is, as Jeremy points out on the text line, Tegan Kavan has been awesome in the World Series, giving up two hits, no runs. The pitcher that OU saw the most in the regular season, so the team split the four games. Oklahoma outscored Texas 12-7 in those four games, but a couple of 2-1 losses, a 5-1 win to win the Big 12 tournament, and then a 5-2 win to start that series down in Austin back in April. But Gutierrez, OU saw twice and she's the one we haven't seen in the World Series. Hmm. We've seen Kavan, we've seen Morgan, but Gutierrez hasn't been in the circle in the World Series. So, you know, Mike White has an interesting dilemma on his hands. As far as, do you ride the hot hand or do you ride who you trusted throughout the regular season? I think it would be shocking, right, if Kavan isn't out there tonight for Texas.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be plumb shocking.
Yeah.
But that's the advantage of winning on Monday the way Texas did, is they just hung out and got to watch, you know, OU and Florida slug back and forth for 8 innings. I mean, those two, you know, everybody remembers the 17-inning game from, 2017 or whatever that was between OU and Florida. Now you get an 8-inning classic. I mean, those two teams just – it's like they can't play a normal game in Oklahoma City. It's always one of those instant classics.
And I know July 1 is the official start date for the SEC and OU. It's already started for me. I can't wait for OU softball in the SEC. And it looked like football's already started, too, with that collision at second base.
I can't – what were they reviewing? To see if she hit her in the face?
Well, one, they reviewed if it was like a...
Well, who cares if it was obstruction? She dropped the ball.
Not obstruction, but if it was intentional.
Yeah, that's what I mean, hitting above the... Like tagging her hard or whatever.
Yeah, and they... Yeah, I don't think they're ever ruling obstruction or not.
Yeah, I think that may have
been... When I went back and watched the highlights last night, that's what I heard. We're reviewing... I forget how they worded it. They're just making sure she didn't intentionally lower her shoulder down and hit the runner in the face. It was all an accident.
Yeah, I think
she was safe because she dropped the ball.
The announcing crew was a little – they're the ones kind of misled on that thing.
I don't think they really understood it either.
What was happening.
Yeah.
Until he said it, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. I think it's going to be good. You're right, though. It does feel like Oklahoma's the underdog for the first time in a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I again, want to know.
Malicious intent above the waist.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you.
Is how the wording of
that goes. Thank you, listeners. We got one on the text line, too. Appreciate that. I want to see. This is a rare territory for OU being the underdog. So I want to see how they embrace that and go, okay. One, no one expects us to win. Two, nobody wants us to win 4 in a row. So let's go show the world we're still OU. We're still the best in the world.
I
want to see how they approach that.
They've played so much. They just seem exhausted,
mm-hmm.
emotionally more than anything. And maybe you see a different team. Because they are in that series, and you can kind of let it all hang out now. Like, okay, we got there. Whew, now let's just go play.
Yeah, that's another way to
approach it. Or does the pressure just mount and mount and mount to try to become the first team to ever win 4 in a row? Whereas, I mean, there's going to be history made no matter what happens in the series because Texas has never won.
Right.
So, there's a lot of different angles to it. With the pressure that's on either squad and both squads, trying to become the first to the literal first in the school history for Texas or the first in the history of the sport to win 4 in a row for OU. I mean, there's no doubt if you look at the matchup from a experience standpoint, one team has that over the other in spades. Even though these two played a couple of years ago. In the championship series, let's be honest, that was like a coronation type of thing, as good as that OU team was. Texas was unranked. This is a totally different animal as far as the pressure that's going to be on Texas this time. And how much extra do they put on themselves to try to be the ones that dethrone Oklahoma?
Yeah, that's another angle to look at is, we've talked about the OU side, the OU angle is what I just said, but... Texas has, and let's not kid ourselves, they're everything you said. Pressure to be the first time to win it, pressure to break this streak that OU's got going on, pressure to beat their rivals. So there's a lot of pressure on their side, too.
in Oklahoma City. We've mentioned the pitching for Texas has just been awesome. Tegan Kavan, 14 innings, two hits, no runs. With rise balls, Mac Morgan, the other seven innings, a hit. Or five innings, I guess, because it was a run rule. And she throws it kind of low. It's a little bit reminiscent of the Duke pitchers that Oklahoma saw in the first game. One likes to throw it high and hard, the other low and hard. So I think you'll see Kavan. I'm interested on what Oklahoma does in the circle. One thing that might lead you to believe that you could see Nicole May, she was really good against Texas in that second game of that series in a 2-1 loss. So Maxwell has been great against Texas. So 2-1, but even in the one loss was a 2-1 loss in which she really threw it well. Just gave up three hits in 4 2/3 innings. But one of those was a home run. That ended up being the difference in game three down in Austin. Who you got?
I'll go Texas in three.
So you have changed your mind since this thing started.
Yeah. Texas well rested. They're playing their best ball at the right time of the year. It'll be a challenge. I think all three will be classics, but I just got a feeling, and I reluctantly say it because I cannot stand Mike White and obviously the whole Texas thing. But I just think it's stacked up against OU, and they're almost running on E now.
I'll believe it when I see it. I agree with everything you just said.
Homer.
No, I'm not going to change.
It's hard to pick against OU. I get it. Until somebody beats them, it's hard to pick against.
But it does. It does.
It just feels like everything
feel like the end.
Yeah,
it does feel like the end of. You know what it reminds me of a little bit? To kind of bring this back into a little bit more local on the high school level. You know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
Kellen Hines' senior year at Fort Cobb.
Oh yeah.
And how that and had to play Cyril in the finals. You know, the rivalry and all, and just like they just kind of ran out of gas and weren't able to win that game. That's the way this kind of feels like for OU. But just like going into that one, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope it goes three. I think it'd be great to see three really, really good games. But I'll stick with the Sooners. I'm not going to change from what I said to start it, but. Kind of riding the fence moment here. It does seem like the Sooners are, like you said, like the gas tank is empty. Not only for this year, but just the culmination of this entirety of the careers. But there would be no better way than for all those seniors that have had all that success to
that'd be really cool
to hoist one more trophy. Could this be? Here's a question. Stadium's built. They're already playing. If Oklahoma is able to pull this off, could this be the write-off in the sunset moment for Patty?
Nah, I don't think so. It'd be a nice, clean way to go. Go out on top, four in a row. The end of the Big 12 for the Sooners. Stadium's built, handed off, I'd assume, to her son as they go into the SEC. But I don't see it. I don't see it.
If she does, can we say she's scared of the SEC?
Yeah, right. Have you heard the rumors that the USC fans are trying to start?
What's that?
Well, you know, USC, they don't. Did you know they don't have a softball program?
I didn't.
And they're starting one. And the rumors, of course, they're starting are, we're going to go get Gasso from OU to be our head coach. And the funny thing is she doesn't help it because anytime she's asked about a coaching job, she always says no comment. I got no comment. She doesn't deny it, but she just says no comment. So that just fuels the fire. Oh, she says no comment. But to answer your question, no, I think she has a few more years in her.
Probably so. I would probably agree with you.
mean, it would certainly help, but what if those young ones you're talking about, what if they play big roles in this series?
Yeah.
In a win. And she can go, man, I get these girls to go to the SEC with and some good recruits coming in.
Yeah, especially when Kennedy comes to pitch for the last year. All right. Starts tonight, 7 o'clock, Oklahoma City. Sooners and Horns for the softball national title. You know where it would be a perfect place to watch the game tonight, Jared?
My backyard with some takeout from Boomtown Grill. Or at Boomtown Grill.
Boomtown Grill.
Okay, that's the first place I'd go.
The Boomtown Grill. 12 big screen TVs. Full service bar, happy hour 2 to 6, so you can get a little pregame in before the game starts.
There you go.
Appetizer plates, drink specials, 11 beers on tap, 30 bottled and canned beers available, both imports and domestics. Large wine selection, the smoked old-fashioned, classic cocktail with a modern seasonal smoky twist. Sandwiches, burgers, salads, steaks, chicken, seafood, pizzas, pastas, they've got it all. At the Boomtown Grill, open 7 days a week, 11 to 10, Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. And it's much funner to be watching the game tonight, watching the game tomorrow with those 50-cent boneless chicken wings special.
Now, that's an all-day thing, right?
It's an all-day thing.
Nice.
The Boomtown Grill. You know, I got to thinking about something here. As I went and filled up my cup mm-hmm. with water. To me, now I'll go get water on a daily basis from the water jug here at work.
Yeah, me too.
But doesn't it feel like water is better over ice than without ice?
Yeah. Of course.
You know, there's certain things that you'd probably go the other way with. Like, what is something that's better without ice?
Beer?
Beer would be one.
I mean, who puts ice in their beer?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Unless it's like icy cold, you know.
No.
But
so we went on a golf trip years ago to Galveston.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that first day, the locals that we were playing with, they would, when you walked into the clubhouse, they had like styrofoam cups sitting there with ice and like a lime in it.
Oh.
I thought, what in the world?
Okay.
And then I noticed those guys would pour their beer over the ice. I thought, what are they doing? Well, about the third hole, when you crack one open, and you take off to the green and you get back and it's about lukewarm because it's so humid outside.
Yeah.
I figured out pretty quickly what they were doing. It was the only way to keep it cold. Well,
that water down your beer? I mean,
well, it also hydrates you.
I guess there's that. That's important. Now, but where were you going with this? The ice?
Well, I filled up my... I
thought there's a...
No. It's just an observation I just made. So I got a Dr. Pepper this morning.
Yeah,
and I had the ice left over, so I just poured it in my water cup, mm-hmm. and I took a drink. I was like, you know what? Water is better over ice than it is without ice. One thing that's not, Gatorade.
I don't think I've ever had ice in Gatorade.
Yeah, I guess it's probably true, too, so I don't know that it's better without ice. I'm going to assume it.
I've seen people put ice in their milk.
Oh, disgusting.
That makes no sense to me. I've seen that done.
I'm looking at a picture here on the Twitters. It's got the Cotton Bowl on a Red River Saturday, and they've drawn the softball field in the middle of it.
I saw that last night. It said, like, what if?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if we, and it's got the softball field in the middle of the Cotton Bowl.
Seriously, though, it sprung a little conversation last night. There's always been that talk. I know we've talked about it. You know, who was it? Was it Iowa did the outdoor game, basketball game, set an attendance record.
Yeah.
Nebraska did an outdoor volleyball game. I really think if OU wanted to, if they found a way, they could set the attendance record for a softball game. I just wonder, like, could you do it on the football field? I don't know if you could. Like, the dimensions of it would
it'd be weird.
A real short, like, left or right field.
Now, the difference between the Cotton Bowl and, like, Owen Field is there's way more space outside of just the field down in the Cotton Bowl. Whereas there's not as much of that in Norman.
And then it got me thinking, well, where could they go to Bricktown Ballpark? But I don't think there's enough seats to set an attendance record.
I don't either. Isn't that crazy?
Of course, Hall of Fame, it is what it is, and they can fill that up, but it wouldn't set the record. You'd have to find a venue that is big enough, and that the only one I could think of is
a football stadium.
The football stadium.
Yep.
If they wanted to do it, I believe they put a call out to the fans, we're going to do this. Those tickets would fly off the shelf, I think, and they would show up.
I'm not going to tell you they'd fill it, but they would break the record.
They'd break the record. That's what I'm saying. You know, they'd break the record.
Just the novelty of it, people would want to go see.
Yeah.
Of playing
it's the same why they did the Iowa did their thing and Nebraska did their thing, and they filled it just to. They're probably told, "Hey, let's break this record. Come on out." And they did. They answered the call. I'm confident if OU wanted to do that, they could do it. That'd be one heck of a way to start the SEC season.
There you go.
Host Alabama and break the record. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool. All right, NFL, Justin Jefferson signed the contract yesterday, kind of right before the show or during the show. 4 years, 140, 110 of that guaranteed. And all Dallas Cowboy fans immediately thought, okay, so how much is CeeDee Lamb going to make?
Yep.
Rumors are similar yet not quite as high. You know, the 133, 134 for 4 years. It's all about the guarantees anyways. So what are the Cowboys waiting on?
You'd like to think behind the scenes they're structuring something. They're not just sitting on their hands and not doing anything. That they're working with this agent. They're in communication with him. Maybe not directly, but they're working on it. You'd like to think that's what's happening here. But they're probably trying to find a way where they can not only pay him, but pay Micah Parsons. And, of course, the whole Dak thing is lingering too. But I'm just being optimistic that something is in the works. But if he gets less than Jefferson, or I mean, he's going to have to. I mean, there's no way they could pay him that much. The question is he going to concede to that and be happy with it? Or is, well, you know, because his numbers are very comparable to Jefferson's in the same amount of time, right? I mean,
they're in the same draft.
He has more catches than him. He has just a tick less yardage than Jefferson. But, again, very comparable. So he could easily come back and say, listen, I'm doing just as much as this guy. He got paid. How come I'm not getting paid? It's just a matter of, I think, yes, I think something's being done, but will it satisfy CD?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, you're right. His numbers are in that realm. Like, what, 700 yards less or 800 yards less?
Yeah.
So, you know.
But, like, 20 or 40. I saw the stat this morning. Some more catches than Jefferson, more receptions. You have to look up the stat. It's 5-something. But very comparable. Very comparable.
The Cowboys' offseason has been really strange. Really haven't done anything. And especially coming off the heels of, you know, Jerry talking about how all in and going to be all in for whatever that means. Yeah, 3 more catches.
Just 3 more catches.
Yeah, CD. And about 700 less yards. 2 more touchdowns. So, yeah, you're right. Very, very comparable.
You know what he does really well? I don't know if Jefferson, I haven't watched a lot of Minnesota games, obviously, but CD rushes the ball really well. He takes a lot. You notice that? Yeah. Little end-arounds and stuff like that.
Is it possible that the Cowboys are considering just completely rebuilding.
Just holding steady, and then if they have a bad year, and then just start over. This doesn't really seem like in the vein of Jerry to do that.
It never
especially
has
in
been.
This stage of his life. He's probably like, I don't have time for this. I want to win now. And then, of course, what you said about his comments. And it is very odd because if you look at the last offseason, they did a lot of proactive moves. They did a lot of proactive things.
That really didn't work.
At the time, on paper, it looked like that's a good move. That's a good idea. But it didn't work.
I mean, it feels apparent that they're going to go into the season as Dak kind of as the lame duck guy. Does not seem like a contract's getting done for Dak Prescott. And so where does that put him with CD, with Parsons? You know, the team that has been brilliant this offseason and getting ahead of a lot of this? The Detroit Lions.
Yep. I thought that's who you thought of.
They were able to set the market before the market was really set. With Amon-Ra St. Brown. Also with Penei Sewell. And once all these, you know, at the time, St. Brown was the highest paid receiver in the league. By the time the season starts, he's going to be like fifth or sixth. If a CD deal gets done, Jefferson's deal got done, Jamar Chase could have a deal also. I mean, you know, there's kind of the dominoes will start to fall now that Jefferson signed his contract. And we're just going to look around and go, man, how smart were the Lions getting ahead of it, not paying the absolute premium of premiums. You know, even Goff is going to be the same way. $53 million a year right now, but wait till everybody else starts rolling in. All of a sudden, he'll be like the eighth or ninth highest paid quarterback. They've been very, very smart in just getting ahead of a lot of this with the moves that they made in the offseason. And it's shocking that Detroit is being brilliant because we haven't really seen that in our lifetime. But they have been. And Dallas is just kind of set on their hand. Part of me is like, okay, has Jerry decided, instead of going all in, maybe they're out, depending on what happens this season.
You'd like to think there's a plan.
You'd like to think, but to this point, I sure don't know what it is. I sure don't know what it is. So, for just by comparison's sake, Amon-Ra, 4 years, $112 million. So they're paying him $28 million less than Justin Jefferson. Are we 100% sure he's that much better than Amon-Ra? Last season, 119 receptions, 1,515 yards, and 10 touchdowns. One of four players in league history with 300-plus catches in his first three seasons. Any idea who the other three are?
Tell me the stat again.
He's the fourth player in NFL history, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
With 300-plus receptions in his first three seasons.
Randy Moss.
Nope. More recent. Justin Jefferson's one.
CeeDee Lamb.
Nope. Michael Thomas of the Saints. And then this one, you might guess and guess and guess and guess and guess and guess and never get this next one.
Help me out.
Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. Who just got...
Who, by the way, just signed another two-year deal to reset the running back market. Yeah, I don't know. The Cowboys has been really weird because when you hear those we're all in, you thought, you know, they'd just be spending money right and left and free agency and signing their guys and look out. Hasn't happened yet. So I'm almost in my mind thinking, okay, since it doesn't look like there's a plan, maybe the plan is, you know, this is it. We haven't won anything with these guys. give them one more chance to run it back, and if it doesn't work, let's do something we haven't done in years and years and years, and that's kind of start over. Seems ludicrous that you would start over without Lamb and Parsons especially, but maybe that's – it's certainly not the Cowboy way, which might be a good thing.
Yeah, newsflash, the Cowboy way is
it has not
out
worked.
Of the any chance to get into the NFC Championship game.
They haven't been there since 1995. I mean, the memes were flying around as soon as Dallas got to the Western, as soon as they beat Oklahoma City, got to the Western Conference Finals, where it had been literally no seasons down in Dallas for the baseball team, the hockey team, and the basketball team to play for a conference title. And the football team hasn't done it in 29 years?
You know a team we forgot? The Renegades.
Oh, yeah. Dakota told us that. Yeah, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the Renegades are winning. The Cowboys aren't.
And the Wings are going to win one before the... And who are the Wings, you ask? That's the WNBA team.
My gosh. WNBA is having a heyday. It's every day. It's stories about the WNBA. Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese.
Angel Reese got tossed last night.
It's like as the world turns.
Oh, no. It's like I want to watch, but not for the game.
Yeah.
You know?
The Real Housewives of the WNBA hanging out here on a Wednesday. Oh.
What?
I was pulling up that ballot. College Football Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Here we go. All right, so... Oh, my goodness. Can I just... Here we go.
Is the list too long and it's crashing your browser?
No, everybody... It's like every single school that had somebody appear on the list. I was trying to click just the whole list, yeah. Not just a single school. Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, 77 players. Notables for this one are really kind of the coaches. None other than Nick Saban and Urban Meyer are eligible to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. That would seem pretty obvious that they would both be in.
Mm-hmm.
Some other coaches that include Tommy Tuberville, Ralph Regan, and Larry Coker. Players, Aaron Donald. And a guy that I can't believe isn't in the College Football Hall of Fame. There's some OU guys. Heupel is on there. George Cumbie is on there. But a guy that I cannot believe is not in the College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Vick. How in the world is Michael Vick not in the dadgum College Football Hall of Fame? What is happening here?
Well,
I mean, the dog stuff.
There's that opinion that it's still a human thing that people are voting on when it gets political and stuff like that, and the opinions of people. I can guarantee that's why he's been held out this long. I agree with you. He is. There's no one that's come along like him. Well, maybe some, but not as that. I mean, he rose Virginia Tech to a level that they've never rose to again.
No.
So I completely agree he should be in, but just to answer your question, it's because of the dog thing, because of the prison time.
Once again, I always go back to this. If we're talking about the Heisman or we're talking about the College Football Hall of Fame, is OJ in? He killed two people.
I know.
Rocky Kalmus also on the list as far as for Oklahoma. Heupel is an interesting one.
He is.
All-American, second in the Heisman his senior year. Depending on how in-depth the voters go, and it's kind of hard to figure out who votes for this, But, you know, Heupel's contributions to OU almost move past just the on-field production. I mean, in a lot of ways, he's the guy that put OU back on the map. I mean, him and Bob, kind of hand in hand. So I wonder if you know, people around here, when you hear Josh Heupel, would lean toward yes, because everyone here understands where Oklahoma football was, and then, of course, where he brought it to, or helped bring it back mm-hmm. to, which was, you know, one of the preeminent programs in the country. You know, his accolades, at least on here, 2000 consensus first team All-American, Walter Camp Player of the Year, second in the Heisman, led the Sooners to the national title, Big 12 Player of the Year. And I think,
and at the time, broke a bunch
that's it.
Of records that have since been broken. I mean, let's say it like this: he set a lot of records, and he set a bar for the quarterback play in the 2000s and up to now.
And it is so funny to go back and look at his numbers, which at the time were like astronomical.
Yeah.
And you go back and look at him now, you're like, really? That's it?
But for OU, I mean,
well, for everybody,
well, yeah, but for particularly OU, when it was. The tradition of OU was running the football, mm-hmm. and then he totally changed the game. It's like, what? We're throwing the football now? Yeah, it was again standard setting what he did in his 2 years at OU.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that maybe we understand here, and no one else may not grasp quite as much. Okay, for instance. Okay, his first year, he completed 62%, which is pedestrian by today's standards, 3,460 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 15 interceptions.
Today, we're like, man, you got to get those interceptions down.
There'd be people calling for the next guy.
Yeah.
Get those interceptions down my foot. Get this guy out of here.
Get him out of here.
He's terrible. What's happening? The next year, when he was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy, 64.7%, just a shade under 3,400 yards, 20 touchdowns, 20, only 20. That's like non-conference now, and 14 interceptions.
He could run a little bit when he needed to. I don't know.
Good thing they're faking him out.
They're not going to blow off the stat sheet or anything, blow out of the stat sheet. But you know, and that's what I like, that he was in contention for the Heisman because he was on since October, the number one team in the country. And it's because of how he won, you know, key touchdown passes, all that stuff.
I'm going to give you another guy's stats. This other guy played quarterback at Oklahoma. 66%. He threw for 4,718 yards. So like 1,400 more than Heupel. 38 touchdowns and 12 interceptions.
Spencer Rattler.
Nope. Even more hated.
Rep Bomar. I don't know. Who is it?
Landry Jones.
Landry Jones.
Landry Jones as a sophomore.
For the record, I never hated the stash. I liked Landry.
Landry Jones. 4,718 yards in a season. Heupel threw for 3,300.
You know I like Landry Jones?
Why?
He never got beat by Texas. He always beat him.
Except for that pesky first year when he came in with Sam Hurt.
Well, you know what I mean.
I just happened to be there.
He came in, but as a starter.
3-0. And administered a couple of absolute murderings. I was there for both of.
So what do you think, Heupel gets in or not?
Yeah, I think he will. But, I mean, you know, we were talking about, is it, you know, what they induct like 10 to 20 every year?
Yeah. Hey, I've been to a few college football games. Can I be on the ballot?
Here's the thing. It seems ridiculous that there's that many. But there's also four times the amount of teams.
That's true.
As say the college, you know, everybody's like NFL and gets like 5 or 6. Well, yeah, there's only 30 teams.
That's true.
There's 130, and the qualifications are a little bit ridiculous. I mean, like for instance, the Tech quarterback that's on here? His name just flew out of my head. Graham Harrell.
Oh yeah,
Graham Harrell is up to be a College Football Hall of Famer. And it says he was an All-American his senior year in 2008. Well, guess what? By somebody. But he was also fourth in the Heisman balloting. And everybody that beat it that was ahead of him was a quarterback with Sam, Tebow, and Colt McCoy. So how in the world could he – somebody had named him a first-team All-American. It wasn't like the AP. Maybe the Lubbock Journal. But I think you get there's so many teams, there's so many players that it becomes a little bit watered down. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, here he is. 2018 first team All-American, AT&T All-American Player of the Year. Well, congratulations. Okay. So was Jared. Do you think Heupel gets in?
I do. I think it's deserving that he does. Who is the linebacker from OU from the name? I'm sorry.
George Gumby.
I think they were talking about this yesterday on the drive home. He definitely needs in.
Two-time first-team All-American, unanimous in 1979. Two-time Big 8 Defensive Player of the Year. Member of 4 Big 8 championship teams. Career second all-time in OU history with 437 tackles. And he played fullback his first year. Yeah, those accolades are a little bit different than some of these others. I don't know. Rocky Kalmus, 2-time consensus first team All-American, Butkus Award winner, all-time leader in tackles for loss, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, 4-time All-Big 12. I don't know. There's some wild names on here that when you read it, you're like, huh? I never once would have considered that guy to be a college football Hall of Famer. And then, of course, there's also that, do you remember them more for their college or their professional accomplishments? Like Marvin Harrison. Do you ever know where Marvin Harrison went to school?
I'm going to guess there's a directional name in there. I don't know.
The Cuse. Syracuse.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. But yeah, a lot of people now look at the younger people would look at see Josh Heupel on there and go, oh, he's on there as a coach? No.
Yeah.
No.
Like Marvin Harrison, nobody even remembers him playing college football.
No, I don't.
Remember him because of what he did in the pros.
Okay, you mentioned Aaron Darnold. Where'd he go?
Pitt.
I know him as a Ram.
Yeah.
You know,
I do know.
So,
and part of that means you have to go back and look at. Yeah, he was actually really good at Pitt, as far as his what he did, his accolades or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of these guys that you'd go back and you go, you just know them because of their professional careers, and you'd have to look up their stats in college. You're thinking, That's all how did he turn into such a great pro when he didn't necessarily do a ton in college?
Sometimes that scouting works out for you.
Yeah.
Someone sees something, go, we can develop him.
No doubt about it. That's the name of the game in the NFL for sure. Because there's a whole bunch more guys that you thought were going to be really good pros that aren't than the other way around.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who've come out of nowhere out of college and turn into Super Bowl winning quarterbacks for Kurt Warner.
Aaron Donald, 2013 unanimous first team All American. He won the Bednarik, Lombardi, Nagurski, and Outland trophies. See, now that's the bio of a guy that ought to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Not first team All American by the Lubbock Journal.
Agreed.
Yeah, Aaron Donald would be there, but Anyhow, let's see when that voting takes place. We didn't get to what's on your mind.
That's okay.
Hey, programming note, tomorrow we're going to have Big Elk head football coach Zach Maynard and also Kate Sanford tell you about camp opportunities here in Elk City with some stars of the college gridiron. That's 9:45 tomorrow. Everybody have a great Wednesday. It's been the Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!